Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 25th, 2023, 1 John.
Well, last week I lied to you, told you we're going to finish chapter 3. Tonight we're going to finish chapter 3. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. I'm going to finish chapter 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And Heavenly Father, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. In the great apostasy that we are witnessing in our own nation, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you for one more day of freedom that you've given to us. Freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 3, let's start at verse 19 with the corrected translation. And so, by means of this, this being impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, before God the Father, but also before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, verse 20, if our heart condemns us, that is, we're out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us because we are in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, then we keep on having confidence before God, before the living and true God, again, God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 22, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we fulfill these two conditions. Condition number one, we continually obey, fulfill His mandates and commands. Condition number two, and we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Verse 23. And this is His mandate. There are actually two mandates in verse 23. A phase one mandate and a phase two mandate. The first mandate is the phase one mandate for the whole human race to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. The phase two mandate is for all of those who believe in Jesus Christ and to love one another just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. Now that brings us to the last verse of chapter 3, verse 24. And it starts out in the King James, it says, And he that keepeth, and of course none of you say keepeth, I hope. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth. See, if you keepeth, you dwelleth in Him. This is the conjunction chi plus the articular present active participle of tereo plus the accusative plural of entele with the definite article and the genitive singular of autos plus the present active indicative of meno plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos. Now we start out with the conjunction chi. And if it's a continuative chi and translated and, I usually don't put it up here, but chi can be used in several different ways. Assensive chi, adjunctive chi, emphatic chi. And this is the emphatic use of chi. And it may be translated indeed, or certainly, or in fact. Excuse me, in fact. And we're going to translate it in fact. And then we have the verb tereo. That's T long E R E long O. Tereo. All right, a couple of things on this verb. First of all, point one, literally it means to keep watch over or to guard. That's the literal translation, to guard. In fact, this was the verb that was used for guarding prisoners. Point two, it then came to mean to keep, to observe, to fulfill, to obey, to pay attention to. And probably the best translation with what we have here is to obey. Three, it is especially used for paying attention to, fulfilling, obeying, the mandates of the Word of God. Now, tereo is an articular participle. And most of you have been here enough times, you kind of got the hank of this now. The articular participle is substantival. And that means it functions as a noun. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, the one who keeps, the one who obeys, the one who fulfills, the one who executes. That's the articular participle, a substantival participle that functions as a noun. Point four, entele, is the object of the verb. E-N-T-O-L long E. Entele. Entele means mandate or command. And entele is in the plural, so it would be mandates or command. Then we have the genitive singular of autos, which is his mandates. Who is his? The Lord Jesus Christ mandates. 5. His mandates refers to the mandates given in verse 23, the phase 1 mandate for the whole human race to believe in Christ, the phase 2 mandate for those who believe in Christ to love one another with virtue, love, impersonal love for all. 5, his mandates include the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. His mandates include the commands to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And we have gone over these mandates again and again and again. Remember, the Word of God is the mind of Christ. These are the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ, his thinking. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Plerao, keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, command, walk by the agency of the Spirit. That is, live your life by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, not by the agency of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system. Ephesians 4:30, a prohibition, stop grieving the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up. This is spiritual growth. Grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. And it is the habit of many believers today to forsake the assembling in a local church to grow up face-to-face teaching of the Word of God. And that is the best, face-to-face. You can, if you don't have it or you choose not to have it, well, it takes a hell of a lot more self-discipline on your part to benefit from the teaching of the Word of God. There is no academic discipline when you are by yourself. No academic discipline. Anything at all can come along and distract you. And so we have the mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. Point 7. These mandates also include the commands to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. These are all mandates to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. We're living in the church age, and this is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, for you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, first of all, it has to start out with personal love for God the Father. You will never, ever have impersonal love for all. You will never, ever have occupation with Christ until you, first of all, have personal love for God the Father. That is the great motivational virtue. And then the great functional virtue. Once you have personal love for God the Father, that will motivate impersonal love for all mankind. And the third part of virtue love, personal love for God the Son, occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin, sharing the happiness of God. And this is presented over and over and over, all the way through 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 is taught again and again and again. It's taught in the Gospel of John, John 13, 34 and 35. It's taught in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. It's taught in 1 John 3, 23. It's taught in 1 John 4:19-20. It's taught in 1 Peter 3:8. It's taught in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It's taught in Ephesians 5:2. So these mandates include the commands to have virtue, love, brought to completion in your hearts. Point 8. These mandates are God's game plan for the church age. These mandates are God's game plan for the church age. We're living in the church age from Pentecost to the rapture. The intercalation period. The Musterion dispensation, not known about in Old Testament times. 9. The one who keeps on obeying these mandates keeps on minnowing in him. And one thing we have learned in this great epistle is there's a couple of words that the Apostle John uses and characterizes what he is teaching. Well, I have apage instead of agape. A-G-A-P-long-E, used by the Apostle John for virtue, love. Virtue, love. He uses it again and again and again and again. And then he has a verb that's unique to John, meno. Meno is his verb for living the spiritual life. Now it's usually translated abide, and what it means is when you are abiding in him, you are living the spiritual life. So we have it once again, meno, the verb used by the Apostle John for living the spiritual life. All right, a couple of things. One, meno means to continue, to remain, to abide. To continue, to remain, to abide. But if you just translate it that way and you are do not explain exactly what John is saying with this, why, there's a lot of people that, Christians that never ever understand that this is the spiritual life, living the spiritual life. The present tense has linear action start. He keeps on abiding. The active voice, the believer who keeps these mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb. He keeps on mennowing in him. The indicative mood is declarative. Dogmatic principle of the Word of God. 2. And then we have en auto. Preposition en plus the dative of autos, that's the dative form there. E-N-A-U-T long O. En auto. Now, autos is a specifically, it's an intensive pronoun, but many, many times in the Koine Greek, it's used for the third person personal pronoun, and that's how it's used here. So, en auto is in him, and him is the Lord Jesus Christ. 3. Keep on abiding in him. This believer is living the spiritual life. The one who keeps on abiding in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, this believer is living the spiritual life. The unique spiritual life of the church age. 4. The one who executes his mandates keeps on living the spiritual life. He keeps on abiding in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who executes his mandates keeps on living the unique spiritual life of the church age. He keeps on mennowing in him, in Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation says, in fact, the one who keeps on obeying his mandates keeps on minnowing in him. He keeps on living the spiritual life. In fact, the one who keeps on obeying his mandates keeps on abiding in him. He keeps on living the spiritual life. And then he says, and he in him. And this is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular masculine of autos plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of autos. The conjunction chi this time is used not as an emphatic chi. This time it is an adjunctive chi. And the adjunctive chi is translated also. And then we have the nominative singular masculine of autos. Again, he uses the third person personal pronoun. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have en auto, again, in him. And he, Jesus Christ, in him, the believer, that is Jesus Christ has now made himself at home in the heart of the believer who is living the spiritual life. For the church age believer who's living the spiritual life, Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have occupation with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. Now, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, he doesn't make himself at home in your heart. Instead, he's knocking on the door. Knocking on the door because you're living in Satan's cosmic system. He's not making himself at home in your heart. He can't. All he can do is discipline you with warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. That's Revelation 3, 19 and 20. And that passage has nothing to do about salvation. It has everything to do about reversion recovery. Rebound and start making good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the winner believer has Jesus Christ making his home in your heart. The loser believer has Jesus Christ knocking on your heart, knocking on the door. And that knocking is discipline, divine discipline. So, en auto, in him, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has now made himself at home in the heart of the believer who is living the spiritual life. And this is presented beautifully in Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, let's start at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Now, you don't have to kneel when you pray. Paul had great knees. And when he went to prayer, he did kneel. That's fine. Some of you have great knees, you can kneel. That's fine. But you don't have to kneel. Your posture is not the issue. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. In other words, the Apostle Paul is going to prayer, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. This is the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number one, combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, so that you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, so that he may strengthen you with power by the agency of his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may make himself at home in your heart. That is occupation with Jesus Christ through maximum metabolized doctrine. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ. And to know this love, this virtue love, this occupation with personal love for Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, nobody had more on his plate than the Apostle Paul. And yet you can go through the New Testament scriptures and you see the Apostle Paul had a phenomenal prayer life. But he was the greatest believer of all time. Maybe Moses, but greatest believer of all time. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, why, you pray. You want to pray. You look forward to praying. For all, and we've gone through the doctrine of prayer again. How, and if it's something in your thinking right now, I don't really want to pray. Well, then I'll just tell you that's a warning. That's a warning to you that you have no spiritual life. That's a warning to you that you haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a warning to you that you have no virtue love. When you have personal love for God the Father, where do the prayers go? They go to the Father. They go to the throne of grace, to the Father. And when you have personal love for God the Father because you know who and what He is, you know His essence, His attributes, His grace, His plan, well, you just naturally go to prayer. You're in an attitude of prayer again and again and again and again. So we have, in fact, the one who keeps on obeying His mandates, keeps on abiding in Him, he's living the spiritual life. Also, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in Him, making Himself at home in the heart of the spiritually mature believer. And then we go on, and by this, we know that He abideth in us. And this is the conjunction chi with the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of gnosko plus the conjunction hati with the present active indicative of meno plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. The conjunction chi, well, we haven't had a continuative chi yet. K-A-I, and this time we're back. This is the emphatic use of chi, and we're going to translate it in fact. In fact, and then we have the preposition en, and it's going to be used two different ways in this clause. The first usage of the preposition en denotes by which something is recognized. This is Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 257. That the first use of the preposition en denotes by which something is recognized, and therefore you translate it by. And that's how we'll translate by. And the object of this first usage of the preposition en is the demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is the demonstrative pronoun this, and this refers to this principle of Bible doctrine. So the corrected translation, in fact, by this principle of Bible doctrine, and then the verb gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Gnosko. Now, gnosko means to know or to come to know. And we're going to translate it to come to know. By this principle of Bible doctrine, we have come to know. And after verbs of dechant, we now have the conjunction ha-ti. And a lot of times it's a causal conjunction, but not after verbs of decendi. And gnosko is one of those verbs. It's the verb of knowing. And after verbs of knowing, thinking, saying, then ha-ti introduces an object clause, and it's correctly translated that. So ha-ti introduces what we have come to know. What principle of doctrine we have come to know. And now we have the second usage of the preposition en. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in, preposition in our heart. Mene en hemen. I'll even put it out here so you can see it. Mene en hemen. Mene en hemen means that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, abides in us. And what is that? When the Lord Jesus Christ is abiding in us, he's made himself at home in our hearts. How great is that? How great is that? The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in our hearts. That's phenomenal. I think about that. In fact, I think about that when I'm at home watching the Golden Knights win another hockey game. But I think about Jesus Christ. He's made himself at home in my heart. And we have, moment by moment, fellowship with each other. And I express to him many, many different things. And I know from the Word of God what he has expressed to me. And there's nothing like having the Lord Jesus Christ at home in your heart and to fellowship with him moment by moment, day by day. And, you know, I get up in the morning and I have certain sites I go to, and I know nothing about computers. I can ruin a computer real quick. If you need yours destroyed, invite me over. I don't really even care for computers, but there's a few sites I go to. But Deb and I will be sitting in there together, and I say, you know what? It's not enjoyable to see all the degeneracy and apostasy in our own nation, around the world, and what goes on. And you see this degeneracy take place everywhere, in sports, in big cities. Crime is on the increase. You got people that want handouts. They want everybody. Now they want Uncle Sam to give everybody $1 million or several million dollars for reparations. And why don't this administration go ahead, give everybody everything, and see how fast we crash. You see, you don't know what it was like to be in the Great Depression. None of you here know what it was like to be in the Great Depression. But But when it crashed in 1929, there were people who had millions of dollars tied up in the stock market, and they had nothing, absolutely nothing. All kinds of people committed suicide all over this country. There was no money. My dad, he grew up in the Depression. And he worked all day picking apples. And what was his pay? They gave him a few apples at the end of the day to take home. Worked all day for a little bit of food. We don't understand. We're on the verge of another great depression. But how great is it when you have Jesus Christ making himself at home in your heart? And then we have the verb ditto me. D-I-D-long-O-M-I. Ditto me. A couple of things on this verb. One, ditto me means to give, to bestow, to impart. Now, who is doing the giving? Good question. Glad you asked. Point two. The subject of the verb is God the Father. God the Father is the one giving. Three, God the Father has given God the Holy Spirit to the royal family of God as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. And that's how John is going to end 1 John chapter 3. God the Father has given God the Holy Spirit to the royal family of God as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Point four. This includes the fact that every church age believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Christ. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the body of the believer as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. And at salvation, at that moment of faith in Christ, you are not only indwelt by the Spirit permanently forever, but you're filled with the Spirit at the exact same time. You never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. You lose the filling of the Spirit when you sin. You recover the filling of the Spirit through rebound. So this includes the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. That's spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, the power to live this unique spiritual life, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. That's spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, whereby you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Five, since all church-age believers possess the Holy Spirit, they have the means by which they can know the reality of having the Lord Jesus Christ making himself at home in their hearts. Jesus Christ abiding in them. Since all church-age believers possess the Holy Spirit, they have the means by which they can know the reality of having the Lord Jesus Christ abiding in them. The Lord Jesus Christ making himself at home in their hearts. And then the dative plural of the personal pronoun, ego. ego. That's the pronoun I. When you have it in the plural, it's us, and this is to us. The dative case is the dative of indirect object. The indirect object introduces the ones in whose interest and benefit something or someone is given. And that is God the Holy Spirit has been given to us for our spiritual benefit. That's what John is saying here at the end of verse 24. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the church age believer serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life. Spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life, so that you can live the spiritual life. And when you're living the spiritual life, you're abiding in God. And when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ is abiding in you. He makes himself at home in your heart. So verse 24, corrected translation says, in fact, the one who keeps on obeying his mandates keeps on abiding in him, living the spiritual life. Also, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in him, making himself at home in the spiritually mature believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, abides in us, that he has made himself at home in our hearts, by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom he, God the Father, has given to us for our spiritual benefit. We are so graced out. We are so blessed in this dispensation. Far, far greater than any other dispensation in human history. We have been given phenomenal blessings and provisions in this dispensation. To whom much is given, much is expected and required. Much has been given to us. All right. Well, there is 1 John chapter 3. It's in the can. So, some of you forgot what was taught in 1 John 3. Corrected translation of the chapter. See how you did. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. And therefore, the world, those people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us. Believe us being believers living the spiritual life. Because they did not understand him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, the rapture, we shall be like him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see him just as he is. Verse 3. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope 3, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Verse 4, everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Indeed, you know that he, the unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed for the purpose that he might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in him, the impeccability of Christ. Verse 6, anyone who abides in him, living the spiritual life, as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life, he is not sinning. You can't sin while you're living the spiritual life. You're filled with the Spirit. You have to get outside of the spiritual life to sin. You have to get into Satan's cosmic system. Anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor knowing him, because he's not living the spiritual life. He's living in the cosmic system. Verse 7, little children, that's teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness, maximum grace righteous production, as a result of living the spiritual life, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer, just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is grace righteousness. Verse 8, the one who commits sin, living in Satan's cosmic system, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, namely, that the first advent, namely, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, anyone who is born of God's spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He's not sinning, because at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit at the very same time. Because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him, the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. And he is not able to sin while he's living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, because he has been born of God. Verse 10. By this, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, are manifest, apparent, obvious. Anyone who does not manifest righteousness, produce grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God, nor is anyone a student, a disciple of God who does not love his fellow believers with impersonal love. Verse 11, because this is the command, the mandate, which mandate you have heard from the beginning, that we, all church-age believers, should love one another with impersonal love. Verse 12, absolutely not as Cain, the way of Cain, we had that the other night in class. Absolutely not as the Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, his production, his offerings kept on being human good and evil. Totally worthless, totally degenerate. But the works, the production, the offerings of his brother were righteous, grace righteous production. Verse 13. And brethren, royal family of God, stop being surprised. Stop being shocked if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. Verse 14. We know that we have changed our residence from cosmic death to the spiritual life because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers, with impersonal love. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. Verse 15, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murderer. And you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know this doctrinal truth now in the present. Namely, that no murderer has the eternal life. This was the beginning of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 1. A special title given by John to Jesus Christ. That no murderer has the Lord Jesus Christ with the title eternal life minnowing in him. He has no spiritual life. He has no intimate fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And by this we have come to know virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only he, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race to solve the world problem of sin. And therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, our fellow believers, have impersonal love for all. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world material possession, food, clothing, money, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is in need, is destitute, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no compassion for him, then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. Verse 18, my dear children, John's congregation, let us not love. Now, what he's saying this, and he's not saying let us not love with impersonal love. He says impersonal love for those in need is not to be all blow and no go, all talk with word or with tongue, but by means of grace, righteous production, the Royal Family Honor Code, and by means of absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Verse 19. And so, by means of this impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before him, before God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if our heart condemns us, because we're out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, he has always known all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we're in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, we keep on having confidence before the living and true God, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from him, God the Father. Because we fulfill these two conditions. Condition number one, we continually obey, fulfill his mandates, commands. And condition number two, we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23, and this is his mandate. Two mandates, the phase one mandate for the whole human race, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the phase two mandate for all of those who believe in Christ, and to love one another just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. Verse 24, in fact, the one who keeps on obeying his mandates, keeps on minnowing in him, living the spiritual life, and also he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in him, making himself at home in the winner believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is minnowing in us, has made himself at home in our hearts by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom he, God the Father, has given to us for our spiritual benefit. Voila. Well, we still have a few minutes, not to worry. Chapter 4. And I hope you are beginning to appreciate from this epistle how great the Apostle John was. How great he was. And you have to realize, of all of the disciples and all the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ loved John. He had the greatest love for John. He loved to be with John. He loved to talk with John. He loved to eat dinner with John. John was there for everything Jesus Christ taught. And under genuine humility, he assimilated and metabolized all of those concepts that Jesus Christ taught. And now we have the privilege of seeing that in this 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. The Apostle John was absolutely phenomenal. All right. Chapter 4, let's start out with an outline. Roman numeral 1, we have the challenge of thought testing. John is going to challenge all of us, every one of us, to discern true teachers of the Word of God from false teachers of the Word of God. He starts out with a challenge of thought testing. That challenge of thought testing goes chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The challenge of thought testing. Roman numeral 2, the dynamics of impersonal love. The dynamics of impersonal love. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Roman numeral 3, the dynamics of the spiritual life, chapter 4, verses 13 to 21. So we start out, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, the challenge of thought testing. This is very, very important, especially when you're living in the times of apostasy. There are a lot of influential people out there. There are a lot of influential speakers out there. There are a lot of communicators out there. And for the most part, they are teaching evil doctrines of demons. And I'm talking about in most churches. They're not teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. So you must be able to distinguish between true teachers of the Word of God, sound doctrinal teachers of the Word of God, and false teachers. That's 1 John 4, 1 through 6. All right? 1 John 4, 1, the mandate to discern true teachers from false teachers. We start out with, beloved, agapetoi, A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-I, agapetoi. This is the vocative plural of the verbal adjective agapetos. The vocative is the vocative of address. And the Apostle John is addressing all of you, every one of you. This is very important for you to understand, especially in the times in which we live. So agapetos, let's get a couple of points. One, agapetos literally means dear or beloved. And we'll translate it beloved, as long as you know what beloved means. Two, agapetos indicates a very close relationship. And many times this is used of a close relationship between a parent and a child. It's not used that way here, but that's how it was used many times. 3. In the New Testament scriptures, it is used of the close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. In the New Testament scriptures, it is used of the close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. Four, we're different. Yeah. We are really different. We're not just family of God like all of the Old Testament believers. We are royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That's never occurred before. This is totally unique. We are royal family of God. 5. Through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, we are entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. That never occurred in any other time in human history. There was regeneration in the Old Testament, family of God, but there was not royal family of God, no baptism of the Spirit, no entering into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. 6. Therefore, we are very different than believers of any other dispensation. Seven, agapetos comes from agape, the noun for virtue love. Agapetos comes from agape, the noun for virtue love. Eight, agapetos is the title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has the title agapetos. We're in union with Jesus Christ. We have a title, agapetos. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, by means of which grace He has pursued us with grace in the one, in the beloved, agapetos. In the one that He loves is in the beloved. Jesus Christ has the title agapetos, the beloved. We are in union with Jesus Christ. We are the beloved. 7. We are in union with Christ, and therefore God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love. We are in union with Jesus Christ, and therefore God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love. 10. As royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords through the baptism of the Spirit, we have something absolutely unique in this dispensation, the church age. As royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords through the baptism of the Spirit, we have something absolutely unique. Never occurred before in human history. 11. To whom much is given, royal family of God, every one of you, much is expected. with all of these phenomenal privileges and blessings goes great responsibility. To whom much is given, royal family of God, much is expected. With all of these fantastic privileges and blessings given to us that were never given to Moses or David or Jeremiah or any of the great believers, Moses, none of them. With these great privileges and blessings goes great responsibility. Beloved, royal family of God. All right. See, we got into Wahoo, with our heads bowed. Father, we're always amazed. The more we study the God-breathed scriptures and see your amazing plan that you have for us in the time in which we live, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and matchless grace. We thank you for the spiritual life. We thank you for the grace and power to live this unique spiritual life. And we pray, sir, in the short time that we're here, we might honor and glorify you to the maximum. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.